I'm going to talk to you this morning about what keeps us from receiving answers. See, God wants you to have everything the Word says you're supposed to have. And I want to spark a hunger in you that'll start you to digging and claiming the promises. Let this, these testimonies incite you to believe God for more. I pray that God will give you a hunger that you'll have a hard time satisfying. How about that? You want to claim that? God's going to give you a hunger that you'll have a hard time satisfying. I want you to be restored to joy. If you're burned out, and sometimes people just feel like they're burned out. And if you're burned out, I want you to believe that God will restore a renewed vision in you and a hunger in you. Are you hungry for the things of God as you used to be? Are you as hungry? John, there's somebody over here too. Hallelujah. So if you're as hungry as you used to be, you maybe don't need this, but are you pursuing the things of God the way you once did? There's somebody back there. Hallelujah. Here. I want the Word to stir you up this morning. Hallelujah. Some of you may think that you know all there is to know about healing, but you know what? You're supposed to be experiencing the supernatural a whole lot more than you are, don't you think? Hallelujah. And people, when you open this Bible, you think, oh, I read that. Oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. I read that before. Forget that. You know what? There's revelation here. I've told you that before. I could get saved on the baguettes. If that's all I had, I could get saved on the baguettes. Glory to God. That Word has revelation. And the more you read it, and the more you let it get down into you, and the more you just ponder it and just go over it. Hallelujah. The more you'll get out of it. Glory to God for 46 years. Tomorrow, Roy and I will be 46 years old in the Lord. We've been saved 46 years. That is so neat. And God is just, this Bible never gets old. It never gets old. It's exciting. There's stuff in here. And I see things I never saw before. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the Word. And the Word that you get excited about, that's what will work for you. Glory to God. Are you satisfied with your walk with God? Are you satisfied with your results in your prayer life? If you are, I say glory to God, but I'm not satisfied. Glory to God, I'm still going. I'm still hungry. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh. No, I'm trying to read it out of one translation and say it out of another. Let me read you out of the New Living first. The old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now the King James says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I, but it's Christ lives in me. And the life which I live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith. I still didn't get it right. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've quoted that hundreds of times and all of a sudden it didn't come out right. Underline that in your Bible. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Maybe I'll just write it down. Whose faith do we live by? The faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say that. I have the faith of the Son of God. Say it one more time. I have the faith of the Son of God. In 2 Peter 1:1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice we've obtained like precious faith. Oh, glory to God. Come on. I got faith just like Jesus. Like precious faith. Isn't that what it says? I got the faith of Jesus. Hallelujah. Like precious faith through righteousness. So if I'm righteous and I got righteous when I got born again, then I have the faith, that precious faith through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice we've obtained like precious faith. We obtained it through righteousness, through Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, that'll light your fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say it again, I have the faith of Jesus Christ.
I have the faith of Jesus Christ.
Now in Romans 12:3 it says, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. One translation says the measure of God's faith. Hallelujah. So if I have like precious faith, I have the measure of God's faith. Hallelujah. There's a measure of faith that'll dwell in you. And in 2 Peter there, it says we have obtained this like precious faith through Jesus. And we live this life by the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. The day you got saved, you received the supernatural faith of Jesus. You have supernatural faith of Jesus living in you, not the faith that comes by hearing. That's a different one. Faith that comes by hearing is the faith that happened when you were a sinner and you heard the word and you responded to that and got born again. After you got born again, the supernatural faith was imparted to you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I love this. So listen to me. When things you're praying for don't manifest, it's not because you don't have faith. Now listen to me. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that everyone would get this. Lord, that no one would misunderstand. But Lord, you just penetrate the heart and let people see what the Spirit is trying to say this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When things you're praying for don't manifest, it's not because you don't have faith. When things don't manifest, I believe it's because you have unbelief. And there's a difference. And I'm going to show you that. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have faith, so you don't need very much. You know, just a small amount will do. He said that faith is a seed like a mustard seed. If you just have that much, you can move a mountain. So you see, it don't have to be real big. And I thought about, you know, God gave me this arm and it's got a muscle in it. But if I don't use that muscle, it just kind of atrophies and just sits there. But I still got it, don't I? I mean, I've got a muscle in there, but I can build that muscle. I can build it if I exercise it. You can build that muscle. You can build that faith muscle by getting in the Word of God. And you can build it. Hallelujah. And you just need a little bit and just start moving it. See, when you don't see results of the manifestation of what we're asking for, usually we begin to confess that we need more faith. I guess I just don't have enough faith. How many times have you heard people say that? Well, I guess I just don't have enough faith. Well, how much is enough faith? Hallelujah. You were given the measure of God's faith. You were given faith through righteousness. Glory to God, the precious faith of Jesus Christ. How much do you need? Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. We have faith. We have the faith of Jesus. And his faith is perfect. So there must be something else wrong. You understand? Now, Jesus' faith is absolutely perfect. But when he went to his own hometown, the scripture says he could do no mighty miracles there because of what? Didn't say lack of faith. It said their unbelief. See, we've thought lack of faith and unbelief was the same thing, and it's not. In the presence of unbelief, there'll always be, you know, it'll always short-circuit your faith. Now listen to me. You can have faith and unbelief at the same time. I'll show you that. If you have a rope, if I had a rope here, and I had one person pulling on this side and one person pulling on the other side, and they're pulling at equal force, that thing in the middle is going nowhere. You know, it's just going to stand there. Hallelujah. Say I have somebody on this side and somebody on this side pulling me, but if they're pulling at equal force, I'm not going to move. That's what we do. See, whatever you're pulling on will just stay in place. Likewise, if you have faith working this way and unbelief working this way, you're going to stay right where you are. Nothing will happen. Abraham was a great man of faith, not because he had more faith than we have, but because he didn't have as much unbelief as we have. You understand? Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith and unbelief can reside in you at the same time. Remember the man who came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Hallelujah. Well, he had faith. Jesus didn't say to him, you're lying. Hallelujah. Mark 9:24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He had belief and unbelief at the same time. Now, see, if you don't know this, you'll keep thinking you don't have enough faith. And you know, or my faith's not strong enough. Hallelujah. Bless God. Now, we can deal with this issue that is counteracting your faith, which is unbelief. Unbelief will short circuit, and it'll counterbalance your faith. And it'll seem like that you don't have more, and you know, that you need more faith. But you have the faith of Jesus, which works. But you have to believe that it works. And you know, if you can also let unbelief short circuit that faith. You're believing God for a healing. You have faith. You have enough faith to be healed. But sometimes you have unbelief, and that short circuit circuits your faith. You think, Lord, what's going on? I've been able to use my faith to get healed of much greater things than this. Do you ever do that? You know, you have, I mean, you've believed God for some great thing. I even like to sell that building, you know, and bless God, you just, I mean, your faith is just right up there. And yet some little thing comes along and just knocks you off your feet, and you can't seem to get it to move. Why? It's because of unbelief. Now stick with me. Hallelujah. For instance, you know, I believe God to grow my bone back together. I believe God to get rid of a mass in my breast, to get healed of pernicious anemia, to believe for my daughter-in-law a kidney. I've gotten rid of warts with my faith, and moles and pimples and junk. You know, I've used my faith for that. I believe for a finger part to grow on, but I struggled with being tired. You understand? What happened? I don't need more faith. I have some unbelief that's short-circuiting my faith. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. See, you got to look at things like they are. Some people get so spiritual. You know, I won't show you my faults because I'm so spiritual, and I want you to see how spiritual I am. Come on, honey. Let's get real. We've all got things that we struggle with. Hallelujah. We're a winner, and overall, we win. But bless God, we're going through some things. And you got to be, you got to let people see. You've got to see. I'm not saying you got to lay down and just let everything fall out of you. But I'm saying you need, if you got a problem, you need to say you got one. Hallelujah. You don't have to keep saying it and keep saying it, but you need to say you got a problem. Face that thing. Look at yourself. Don't lie to yourself. People have lied to themselves. You know, they think they're one thing. I mean, people toot your horn, you begin to believe your own tooting, you know. Well, that didn't sound right, did it? Hallelujah. But you know what? We begin to believe our own press. Cut it out. Look at, you can have some unbelief in you. I don't know when, you know, sometimes I don't know when unbelief is there. And you won't know that you have it, but you have to deal with it to get your manifestation. Are you understanding me? Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought my son unto thee, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out, that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and saith unto him, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And the spirit tear him, and it fell on the ground, a wall of foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it's cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. See, that's what the devil wants to do, to destroy you. Hallelujah. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, one translation, Jesus said, what do you mean if I can do anything? Hallelujah. Jesus said to him, see, he threw it right back to him. Oh, Jesus, if you can do anything. Well, Jesus said, I can do all things. All things are possible through him. Hallelujah. So he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, the man wanted to blame it on Jesus, and Jesus put it right back in his corner. You see that? Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All things are possible to him that believeth. So you can have faith and believe, but you can also have some unbelief. Look at this. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Hallelujah. And now Jesus asked him about the child. So don't you imagine that he's seen that the man had some faith? Jesus would have told him, you're wrong. If you had faith, you wouldn't have any unbelief. Well, Jesus didn't do that. What was that saying? I believe you, Jesus, but there's some unbelief in me. Hallelujah. Bless God. Maybe he was believing that Jesus could heal his son, but he didn't know if he would or not. Maybe he was knowing that Jesus could heal him, but if he didn't know if the timing was right. Didn't know if it was his will or not. That's where the unbelief comes in. We can know. Glory to God, we can know. And see, we know sometimes that God can, but we don't know if he will. How many of you have ever been there? You know, Bless God. See, we let the things of this world cause unbelief. How about the internet? You know, we look up things, and the more we know in the natural, the less we can believe for the spiritual. I've seen people do that. Go on the internet and find out everything they can about some disease and ponder on that and spend their time on what that says about them instead of resisting that thing and standing up and saying, no, devil, I believe God. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with going on the internet and looking up stuff, but people just overdo it. You understand? Hallelujah. I've seen it hinder people from getting healed. They can tell me everything the internet said. They can tell me every symptom. They can't tell me one scripture that tells them. You understand? Hallelujah. Matthew 17:16. And he said, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithful and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? See, God expects us to stand on his word. How long shall I suffer you? Hallelujah. Then if you go on down, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily, just think about who he's talking to. He's talking to these disciples who have cast out devils, who have done all these mighty things. He sent them out, and they did things. Hallelujah. But he looked at them and said, it's because of your own unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, see, that's just little. You could say unto the mountain, to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 17:19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Hallelujah. I realize I'm reading you the same thing over again, but I want you to get this. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. We don't talk like that anymore. You remove hence to yonder place. And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible. He's saying, just tell it, get up and go. Hallelujah. You know, down south they say down yonder. You know, down yonder, everything. Yeah. Howbeit, verse 21, look at this. Howbeit, that means however, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. He's about to show them something. And you know, I've always thought he meant this kind. This kind of demon only goes out by prayer and fasting. But look at this. We thought he was talking about the demon, this kind of demon, but he was talking about the unbelief. This kind of unbelief comes out only by prayer and fasting. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. This kind of unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting. Jesus took care of the situation. The disciples could have taken care of that demon. Because you know what? In Matthew 10:1, Jesus had given them power to cast out demons and cure all manner of diseases, didn't he? Matthew 10:8, you know, it tells you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Glory to God, he tells you that. See, Mark 6, they actually did that very thing. 6:13 says, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. These are men who are believers. They've walked with Jesus. I mean, bless God, they're on fire. Hallelujah. But he tells them they couldn't cast it out because of their unbelief. Hallelujah. The problem was when they saw this boy foaming at the mouth and rolling around on the ground and making sounds, unbelief showed up. Now, they were not aware that it was unbelief. They thought they had a faith problem. They did because they asked Jesus. And right after that, they said, increase our faith. Do you see that? Glory. Somebody say glory. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. See, they thought they had a faith problem because after they couldn't cast us out, they asked Jesus to increase our faith. You don't need more faith. You just need to get rid of your unbelief. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Jesus told them if they had faith as a grain of mustard seed, they'd tell them sycamine tree, not on the mountain, but they could pluck up a tree. Now, that tree has been there a long time, and it's got roots that go way deep. If you've ever cut a tree down and they've had to go down after the roots, some of those things, and if you, I know once we had a water problem in our house, in our basement, and it was because that tree in the front yard had gone down and gone through the water lines. Can you imagine with my faith, I could say, be plucked up and cast into the sea? Hallelujah. So why don't we do that? Because we have some unbelief in us. Hallelujah. See, deal with the unbelief. It's not that you need more faith. We don't have to, you know, well, we just don't want to admit that we have unbelief, for goodness sake. We're great teachers of faith and power. Hallelujah. I know I have faith, and I know I believe the word. But the pressure of unbelief will soon, it'll short circuit my faith. How does unbelief come? You know, we need to recognize it when it comes. Now, the Bible says that we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. That's what it says. We know that Jesus finished the work. Everything I'm going to need has already been done. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, everything I'll ever need has already been paid for and is available to me. Hallelujah. You know, did you ever, I know all of you are just full of love and you just love everybody, but there's some people that are just hard to love, right? I mean, it's just hard to love them. There's people that, you know, it's hard to forgive, you know, but Jesus said forgive, he said love, so there must be a way we can do this as an act of our will. We always pray that with people. Say, in Jesus' name, as act of my will, I choose to forgive. Hallelujah. So, you know what? It's already been done, and all I'm ever going to need is already, it's already been done. So everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been available to me. It's like salvation that's been available, made available to all men. Then you say, well, how come all men are not saved? They don't release the faith for it. You know, they don't release the faith for what grace is available to them. Think about the things you've been believing for that are not come yet. And you make religious excuses as to why it don't. Now, come on, I can't be the only one that does that. We don't deal with what Jesus said, only believe. Not believe with a little unbelief. He said, only believe. There's things that it just seems like I can get just like that. And then there's other things that are, it takes me a while. In Mark 5, when Jairus' daughter was dying, they told him, they came and told him, said, your daughter's dead. Jesus told him, only believe. Mark 5, it's verse 22. Then a teacher, or one of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her, and she can live. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. Now watch what Jesus does. They said, she's dead. Well, you know, that's the end, isn't it? I mean, if they're dead, my goodness, that's the end. You might as well lay it up and quit believing. He said, there's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them, and he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Some of you this morning are facing a crisis. It's right there in your face. And the devil will say to you, throw it up, hang up the towel. Just hang it up. There's no use in believing anymore. I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Push past that. If the devil draws a line, go past that. Hallelujah. His line has been made invalid. Hallelujah. Who says the devil can draw a line and say, I can go no further? When Jesus said, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Jesus said, glory to God. Hallelujah. So he tells him, just have faith. Just have faith. Now the guy has come and said, don't bother him anymore, she's dead. But Jesus, glory to God. See, the doctor has said to you, you know what, you're going to have this the rest of your life. There isn't anything we can do. But Jesus said, hallelujah, by his stripes you're healed. Hallelujah. You see that? The devil tries to draw that line and say, just don't trouble Jesus anymore. Just hang up the towel. Quit believing. You know, you've lost this one. Hallelujah. I don't lose. Come on, you got to know that. Hallelujah. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, he tells Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. I'm telling you this morning, you quit being afraid. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. You may be looking at bankruptcy. You may be having people call you and say that they're going to take your house and bring the keys, glory, just like they said to him. But hallelujah, there's one bigger than what's here. Hallelujah. And if you'll get your eye on the word and get it off of what you're looking at and the circumstances, hallelujah, God will bring you through. Hallelujah. Jesus said you need only to believe. You can have unbelief at some time, the same as you can have faith. But to get your answer, you have to only believe. Hallelujah. Bless God. As a Christian who's trying to get the manifestation of God's grace in your life, you will have to understand you can only get it when you only believe. Hallelujah. Understand that? Don't have unbelief. But you have to recognize that the unbelief is there. James 1, 5 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. James 1, 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're going to receive what grace has provided with you, it'll require you to be single-minded. Single-minded. See, look at this. I'm glad that you know that you're already healed, that Jesus finished the work on the cross. Do you see that? Jesus does not have to come back and do anything to get you healed. He said in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. Glory to God. Come on. Somebody just got that. Hallelujah. You are healed. Do you see that? He's already done that for you. It's a done deal. Now that you know that, it's so sad that you know it's there, but you can't get it for yourself. Hallelujah. It's like a man leaning up against a well with nothing to draw the water out with. And he's thirsting because he has no bucket to draw the water out of the well. Not able to access it because he can't find anything to access the water. Hallelujah. See, I think God has shown us how to access the water. You don't need to read more. You don't need to pray more. You just need to get rid of the unbelief. Now, it's okay to read more. It's okay to pray more. I'm not against that. I'm telling you, get in that word and make that so real in your life that it's more real than what comes up in your face. Get that word so real in your life when the doctor says you're dying, say, no, I'm not. I'm living. Hallelujah. Dying with cancer. No, right now I'm living with cancer, but cancer can't stay on me because my body's the temple of the Holy Ghost and I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and cancer is not welcome here. Amen. Come on. I want to get you so full of the word that that's what you say. So, hallelujah. See, how can you recognize when you're double-minded? See, I know when I have unbelief, when I'm full of care. Come on. You know, we tell people, be careful. Be careful. The Bible says be careful for nothing. Quit saying that. We say be safe. Watch out. Be careful. Be careful. No, he said, don't be full of care. Careful. Full of care. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Bless God. We're full of worry. When you're full of worry, you have some unbelief. I mean, if you're not resting at night and you're sitting up thinking about the problem, bless God. And we all do that from time to time. You know, we have to go back and get this weeded out. And when you're full of fear, that's when you have unbelief. When you're full of care, full of worry, full of unbelief. When God says, I'm healed, but I carry the stress or the care of it. You know, that's two minds. One mind says, I'm healed, but the other says, why can't I see it? So you're carrying the care if you're thinking about it all the time. You're carrying the care. Worry is a negative meditation on the wrong thing. Hear me? You're healed, but you're meditating on the wrong thing. Hallelujah. See, God told us to meditate the word. Instead, we meditate. Sometimes we try to medicate it too, but meditate the word. So worry. Hallelujah. Fear is thinking that the word might not work. What if it don't work this time? Well, what if it does? Hallelujah. If you find yourself thinking about the problem all the time, crying about it, afraid the word won't work, unbelief is present. If you find yourself talking about that thing all the time, hallelujah, just looking for a new ear to listen. Some people don't want to get better. You know what? I see that. Some people, if they got healed, they wouldn't have a thing to talk about. Hallelujah. And some people use that sick thing to get pity and to get attention. Glory, I've seen people. I had a girl come to me once who told me she had cancer and tried to bring me some false reports to show she had cancer. Listen, bless God, that's no way to get attention. If you're sick like that, get help. I'll tell you, glory, I don't want that kind of attention. Hallelujah. Bless God. So, do you see that there's nothing wrong with God's word? There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with your standing with God. You just got to know that and kick out the unbelief. See, the devil will tell you, well, there's something more wrong with God. Well, we know there's nothing wrong with God. Then he'll say, tell you there's something wrong with the word. Well, we know there's nothing wrong. Well, then he'll say there's something wrong with you. Hallelujah. Well, no, you know what? There's nothing wrong with me because Jesus took care of what's wrong with me. I'm a work in progress. Hallelujah. But see, Jesus took care of that. Hallelujah. And it comes in three forms. You identify it through care, worry, and fear, but it'll show up in three forms. First is ignorance, not knowing. Some people don't believe something because they just don't know the truth. You know, the antidote is preach the truth. When the truth is received, ignorance is driven out, and unbelief has to go with it. Unbelief can come through ignorance, and the fix for that is to preach the truth, and if it's received, that unbelief in the form of ignorance will get out. Number two is disbelief. Now, disbelief is different from unbelief. Disbelief is a result of wrong teaching. When you've heard something that was taught wrong and you received it and you made it a part of your traditional thinking, then when you hear it taught right, you have a problem believing it because of the wrong teaching you've had. You understand that? Hallelujah. See, you've been taught wrong, and you have to decide to believe what the word says. Believe the word more than you do your traditional teaching. You just got to do that. See, that's what disbelief is. Change your mind about what you've been taught. And when it can be proved in the word that what was taught you is wrong, then decide to believe the word. I think I told you, there was a man in the church that I was in, and the man was teaching on the upper room, and a deacon came by, and he said, "Brother, you better stop that. You're going to mess up our tradition." Well, honey, if your tradition can be messed up by the word of God, you better change your tradition. Hallelujah. See, I was taught that you kept yourself saved, so I thought I was lost every time I did something wrong. I've been on my knees a lot. That's how come I got so skinny knees. Hallelujah. Every time I did something wrong, I thought I was lost again. I found in the word that I'm kept by the power of God. I remember getting so excited when I saw that. I'm kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. I don't have to keep myself. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, I decided to believe what the word said about me, not what I felt. Hallelujah. I was taught I was just an old sinner, an unrighteous worm. And I'd go to God and say that. Oh, Lord, I know I'm just an unrighteous worm. I'm lower than a snake's belly, Lord. I thought I was impressing God. That didn't impress God a bit. One time he said to me, "Evelyn, when I went to the length that I went to make you righteous, I sent my son and did what I did to make you righteous, and you come crawling to me and tell me that you're just an unrighteous worm." He said, "I can't help you." I said, "Get behind me, Satan. I know that can't be God. I know I'm a worm." Hallelujah. Bless God. But it was God talking to me. And that happened a long time ago. And so maybe you just thought I changed my thinking just like that. Whoa, all of a sudden, God spoke to me. And it took me years to pull out some of that junk, some of that wrong teaching. Hallelujah. Because my psyche, my mind, will, and emotion will line up with what's wrong if I don't take the word and make it line up with what's right. You understand that? Even your body will work against you, but you're going to have to take the word and make that soul and make that body come in line with the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I wish somebody taught me this a long time ago. Hallelujah. Bless God. See, I was taught that. You're just unrighteous. You're just unworthy. An old sinner saved by grace. Then I found in the word that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I decided to believe that. And unbelief in that area had to go when I began to believe that. Number three is natural unbelief. Unbelief that comes as a result of what your senses pick up. See, the disciples who tried to deliver that boy with convulsions, they saw him foaming at the mouth. And then they saw him rolling on the ground out of control, and unbelief came. Even though they prayed and did what Jesus told them to do, when they saw this with their eyes, they got different results because they didn't keep their eye on the word. Unbelief showed up. Their senses told them it can't happen. Do you ever have your senses especially, see, I got this healing thing down pretty good. You know, I mean, I can believe for me and believe for healing. But sometimes, and I've got to watch what I confess, it's harder for me to believe for finances. And part of it's because I confess for years, it's harder for me to believe. So I quit confessing that. But sometimes I try to figure out how God's going to do it. You know, how could he ever get that much money to me? How in the world? I can't see a way that he could increase my income. I don't have to see it. You understand that? Glory to God. I'm just being real honest with you this morning. Hallelujah. Don't let that stand in the way of you getting what you need from God. If God ever promised it to anybody, it's mine. If God could cause a man to come up, a young man that didn't look like he had a penny, come up and have a checkbook full of money and write a big check, glory to God. If God has to bring an old dog to my door with a bag around his neck full of money. My son-in-law got laid off and he was out of work for a few months there, and they let the dog out, and the dog went out and come back in with a $100 bill in his mouth. Come on, he did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, God can get it to me. People say, well, now God's not a counterfeiter and he won't make money. I don't know if God makes money or not. I know he's not a counterfeiter, but I'm going to tell you something. He knows where all the money is and he knows how to get it to me. And the Bible says the wealth of the ungodly is laid up for the just. Hallelujah. Bless God. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we have to, you know, even though you've seen miracles happen, if you're not careful, you'll look at the circumstances. Well, yeah, I seen God bring money to me, you know, 10 years ago, but look at the economy now. Look how bad things are. Look what's going on. You know, if you start looking at that, unbelief shows up. It don't matter. It don't matter, people. I can remember when I was a little girl, they said if bread ever got to $1 a loaf, we'd never eat another slice of bread. Well, bless God, we're still eating bread and paying $3 a loaf sometimes. Hallelujah. Bless God. If gas ever got to $1 a gallon, nobody could ever drive anywhere. Well, bless God, we're still driving, and it's been a sight more than that. Hallelujah. You understand? Oh, my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, now, you know what? God won't change. He won't force anybody's will. You bet he won't. But I'm going to tell you something. There can be so much pressure yielded on them when I'm standing in faith that they can't go to hell if they want to. Hallelujah. Bless God. If you'll stand in faith, God will change their mind. He'll change circumstances. He'll send people. Glory to God. But we keep crying, oh God, please beg, and begging and crying around, please save my brother, my sister, my kids. Hallelujah. How about saying, glory to God, I thank you, Father, all my kids are in. My kids are saved. Hallelujah. The seed of the righteous has been delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and my kids are coming out. They're going to heaven. Hallelujah. My husband's going to get saved. I don't know when, I don't know how, but bless God, he has to get saved because I've declared it. Hallelujah. Because your word declares it. Come on, people. Oh, glory. I preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have to train our senses to where we know the difference between good and evil. The Bible talks about a time in the world when men would call evil good and good evil. Well, honey, it's about here now. Glory to God. But we train our body through fasting and prayer to know how to agree with the word and agree with your born-again spirit. Hallelujah. You hear me? Ooh, hallelujah. See, you can tell your body no. You won't die just because you didn't have lunch. See, fasting is primarily to combat carnality. Hallelujah. Get your body where it won't allow your senses to move you to a place of unbelief. I told you several months ago, Sherry and I went to the hospital to pray for a man who was in a coma. We went in and I talked to his spirit. And I told him to come, you know, he's going to get saved. I led him through the sinner's prayer. Now, he was out of it, but his spirit was not. We left him after prayer in the same shape it looked like. If I was looking at what I saw, it looked like he hadn't changed a bit. We prayed for his healing. Several weeks later, here he come up, dancing up here. Hallelujah. I mean, they cut his leg off. He had a new leg, and bless God, he had a prosthesis. We didn't get him a leg to grow on that day, but we asked the Lord to heal him, and here he was, and he said, they tell me you're the one that come up and prayed for me, and you got me saved, and I want you to know I got saved, and he's up there, bless God, and he sits back there every Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Don't look at what you see. Glory to God. Train your body not to look at the natural. Glory to God. I love that. There's one more thing that causes unbelief. And everybody in here at some time in your life deals with this. And it's a hardened heart. See, you don't have to be in rebellion or God hater to have a hardened heart. We can deal with a hardened heart at one time or the other. We all have to. A hardened heart produces unbelief. Ask God to let you see that if you have a hardened heart. Hallelujah. See, in Mark's, I have to watch my computer didn't, or my printer didn't print out all this, so I got to read half of it. And when the day was far spent, I think that's Mark 6. Is it up there? Yeah, okay. Far spent, his disciples came to him and said, yes, said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said to them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Now one of the other books says that it was a young boy's lunch. And I thought, isn't that something? That little kid's the only one that took a lunch, or else he's the only one that will share it. And can you imagine? He had like a fish stick dinner, you know, Arby's fish dinner. And he probably had it in a sack, and he probably had it in his pocket, and he probably rolled around on the ground, and had no telling what that thing looked like by the time that, you know, he's a young boy. He's had it on the ground and picked it back up and mashed it and everything else, but he's willing to give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless God. Maybe some of the things you have don't look like somebody else has, but if you're willing to give it to Jesus and willing to let Jesus use it, he'll bless it. Hallelujah. So then he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed it and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And you know, Pastor Kevin taught this not long ago, how that he didn't break it and then just give him baskets full. He broke it and gave him a piece. Hallelujah. And as they went and began to distribute it, it became more. And they began to feed all. Can you imagine how excited they got when they give a piece to somebody and look down, there's more? Hallelujah. And just kept giving it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When they had Caleb Malek went to heaven and they had his ceremony here in the church, and they were feeding people out there. And my daughter-in-law came and she said, Mom, I don't know what we're going to do. She said, we have food for 150 and there's 400 people here. I said, well, we're going to pray. So her and I prayed back there and just agreed together. And they fed everybody there. And they sent some home with them. And then they gave food to the worship team. Glory to God. Come on, people. These things are happening today. Hallelujah. Bless God. And so they all did eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. Now look at this. About 1,500 or 15,000 people ate off a snack. And they got full off of a snack. So when they'd eaten, they had their fill. You know, they got full off a snack. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't need much, just a little bit. Hallelujah. Just a seed. Hallelujah. How would you have felt if you'd been there and experienced that miracle? Then it said in verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go the other side unto Bethsaida while he sent the people away. Now look at that word constrained. These are fishermen, And they could see it was bad weather. Said he constrained them. He told them, said, you go. Now these fishermen knew bad weather was coming, but he insisted they go to the other side. He said right there they were to go to the other side. Hallelujah. He said in the word, by his stripes, ye were healed. He said in the word, himself took your infirmities, bore your diseases. He said in the word, he'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He told them, go to the other side. Well, if God said, I'm going to the other side, bless God, I'm going. Hallelujah. You're not going to drag me by one leg. Hallelujah. I'm going in fine style. Hallelujah. Bless God. So, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Now, can you imagine? He tells them, go out there in that rough water. Go ahead in the boat. And he goes someplace else. You think, yeah, you big man of faith and power, you come get in the boat with us. Hallelujah. But you know what? We need to trust him. We need to trust him. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was on the land. And he saw them toiling and roaring, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Now, see, they think he's coming. They see him walking on the sea. Oh, boy, he's here now. He's going to help us. But it said that he would have passed them by. I mean, he was going on past them. He expected them to take care of that. Can you see that? And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what he's saying to you. And when he went up into the ship and the wind had ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Check this out. They had just left a big miracle. They saw Jesus do something impossible. How many of you know it's impossible to take food for 150 and feed 400 with it? Come on, people. And some of those men I saw, them, they were loading their plates up out there. Hallelujah. But they saw Jesus do something impossible. He took this nasty little lunch and made a good meal out of it. They were scared out of their minds. They thought Jesus would come out here and stop the storm. Instead, he's going past them. Watch their reaction. They were amazed. Do you think that a man who had just fed 15,000 people with a little boy's fish stick basket couldn't deal with the wind? But they were amazed. And look what Jesus said was wrong. 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They failed to understand. They were not thinking. They were not focused on what he had just done. Their heart was hardened. Remember when God made a promise to Abraham that he had a son? And in Romans 4, it said that Abraham considered not the deadness of his own body, now being dead, being about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider anything but what God had said to him. The promise of God. You have some promises of God and you need to start considering that. He didn't let the circumstances bother him. He didn't let it come to mind. You hearing me? He would only allow the promise to come to mind, not the problem. The disciples didn't allow what they had seen Jesus do come to mind. Hallelujah. Why were they amazed? Because their hearts were hardened. You understand? See, sometimes we got faith in what God's done for somebody else. And we try, well, now, God, I saw, people tell me that if I could just see a miracle, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. You'd believe in miracles, but you wouldn't believe the Word of God. You have to get in the Word of God to believe that God will do that for you. You understand that? See, I can see miracles all day long, but that refreshes me and it encourages me, but that's not what will get you healed. You understand? Why were they amazed? Because their heart was hard. If Jesus would do an amazing thing here today and you would get amazed, you should question yourself as to why. You understand me? We see tremendous miracles and we're just, oh, people say, oh, that's blowing me away. You want to get blown away? Be careful saying that. Hallelujah. But people say that, oh, my goodness. Oh, I just can't believe that. And God just done a miracle right in front of them. Be careful. See, we should not be amazed by miracles. We should not be amazed, but we are. How do we respond to miracles? Their heart was hard. We get a hard heart by considering what we see with our eyes. Hardness of the heart is not just rebellion. And it's not just the rebellious that have hardness of heart. It's not just the God-hating people that do. A hard heart comes when we relate more easily to the natural realm than we do to the supernatural. When you relate more easily to the natural realm than you do to the supernatural realm, your heart's hard. When things in the natural are more real to you than things in the supernatural, you have a hard heart. Hallelujah. People say, well, I got just about, you know, I got just about what I was expecting. Well, what were you expecting? Man, when I come, I expect to get healed. I expect to get my needs met. I expect to get revelation. I expect to know how to get closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. We should be more moved by what God's word says than we are about what the news says. We repeat the news and don't even consider what God's word says. Did you know? And we start talking about what's on the news. And we should be aware. Yes, you need to be aware so we know how to pray and how to intercede. But bless God, don't take a steady dose of that. Hallelujah. You know, when you have the news going continually and you just continually put that in you, it'll bring depression. Hallelujah. See, we believe what the test shows, what the doctor says, what your body tells you, more than what God's word says about the situation. We don't even consider what God's word says. And we need to do that. When you get, you know, what you get from this message today is based on the condition of your heart. Is the condition of your heart, is it pliable and open to God, or do you have a hard heart? Be honest with yourself. It's the condition of your heart that determines what you get from God. And I want to break this down so you can see how this stuff gets in your heart. You can be a good moral person and still have a hardened heart toward God. Mark 8:17 says, when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason you? Because you have no bread. Perceive you not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Is your heart still hard? In that New Living, it says, Jesus knew what they were saying, and he said, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? Having a hard heart is defined by the word as a heart of unbelief. Is your heart hard? You can get nothing from God if it is. A hard heart brings unbelief, and things won't manifest in your life. Mark 8:17 says, Jesus knew what they were saying. He said, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you see? Can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, or how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterwards? 12, they said. See, he says a hard heart is deprived of wisdom, is deprived of judgment, is deprived of understanding. Mark 6:52 in the New Living says, and they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. A heart that is hard is one that has no wisdom, no judgment, and no understanding. The way your heart becomes hardened is what you do not consider. Hallelujah. For they considered not the miracles. You understand that? There is your definition. Because of what you don't think on, what you don't contemplate and ponder, because of what you don't meditate on. Hallelujah. The way for me to get a hard heart toward sin is for me to not think about what, you know, not think about sin. If you keep thinking about sin and thinking about that, then you're going to get a hard heart. I want to have a hard heart toward drugs, so I just don't think about drugs. I put something else there. Can't be tempted unless you think about it. Did I make sense? Unbelief comes through your thought process. If you want a hard, you know, if you want to harden your heart to a thing, just don't think about it. I want to harden my heart to the things of the world. So I'm trying not to think about the world. I'm trying to think about the Word of God. If you're doing something and it's manifesting in your life, then you're thinking about it. You're considering it. Hallelujah. If you don't consider the Word on healing, you don't think about it, you don't meditate it, then you'll have a hard heart toward the Word. Healing, prosperity, all the provisions have been made available to you, but you won't consider what the Word says above what your feelings are telling you. Are you getting that? The thing you don't bear in mind will cause your heart to be hardened toward it. Unbelief comes in by hardening your heart toward the word. And you know, you just not don't consider what the word says. They hardened their heart toward Jesus doing a miracle on the sea because they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves. Hallelujah. Start meditating the word. Give the word first place in your life. If you want to see miracles happen that happened in the Old and New Testament, check your heart. Consider the word. We need to think about what Jesus said. Consider the promise more than you consider the problem. I depend on unmerited favor more than I do what I see. You know, understand that. Hallelujah. I'm healed by what Jesus took on his back. My needs are met according to his riches and glory. Ponder that. Take these handouts. Man, you think we just get them out there just so you can carry paper home and put in a wastebasket? No. You know what? That's riches. Hallelujah. Take them. Ponder on them. Think on them. Confess them. Meditate on them. Dwell on them. It'll make a huge difference. It will. Some people put them in a book and they go over them and over them. Kim McCauley, my goodness, she got them years ago when I passed them out of his place at another church, and she put them in a book and she read them over and over and over and over again until that's just so much a part of her. The Bible tells us that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Hallelujah. Is your treasure in the world? Or, you know, is it outside of the Word of God? Hallelujah. We need to get back to living a separated life so we can see the things God promised. Judge your life. See if your heart is hardened. Cultivate a soft, tender heart toward God. Consider what the Word has to say about it. Sensitize your heart to the things of God. That is so good. See, we're not seeing the things we saw 30 years ago. We don't want to limit God in our lives. But, you know, we're going to sensitize our heart toward the Word of God. We're going to see some miracles. We're going to see. Now, see, we see some miracles, and it's beginning to come back. But there was a long period of time when we saw very little. I mean, we saw more than most people. But and the Word was still working. But, you know, people, you get so worldly-minded, you know, that you just can't. You can't take in what the Word of God says. And God wants us to get the Word of God. I'm not talking about getting weird or strange. Glory to God. See, the Word won't make you it won't make you weird. The Word will balance you. Hallelujah. Bless God. Consider what God said. Don't contemplate the problems of the world. Contemplate what God said in His Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. I want to confess something over you. Say, stress is not in this house. Even in the fire, I'm cool. I'm resting in the arms of the Almighty. I'm not a victim. This fort is not coming down. I am a peacemaker. And a victory taker. In the midst of a mess, God gives me rest. I don't just have peace. I make it. I have strength in numbers. God and me. Hallelujah. I'm sleeping through the storm. Do not disturb. You wouldn't be able to anyway. And the world has a saying, peace out. So I say to you, peace out. Someone else does my wrestling. Even a peace of God brings the peace of God. Serenity is my middle name. My shepherd uses more than just a staff. Intruders, beware. I'm floating on still waters. In the storm, I learned to appreciate the quiet. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Bless God. Bless God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray this morning over this. I pray, God, that you help us to understand this and grasp this, God. Father, we confess we've had unbelief. And we ask now, God, you forgive us for that unbelief and help us to replace that with the power of God, the Word of God. Help us to replace our thinking, God, where we've thought on the problem, to turn that around and begin to think on the answer. God, to stay on the answer side. Help us to live in a place called done. Father God, I thank you for that. Now, God bless them. We thank you for everyone in here, Father, in Jesus' name. And I want to wish every one of you a happy Thanksgiving. Remember what that day is. It's a day to be thankful. It's not a day. I mean, if you want to shop, that's okay. Go ahead and shop. But it's not really a day to shop. It's a day to be thankful. A day of rest where we just stop and praise the Lord for what he's done and get healed. Hallelujah. You hear me? I said get healed. Hallelujah.